everybody, and welcome to episode 23 of the Divided by Werewolves podcast. It's me, Brandon. Mitch is here as well to kick off the unofficial start of summer. And I don't know where you are, but it's been fucking hotter than shit summertime-wise for a few weeks now. So this Memorial
Day.
I think what happened is the climate was like, oh, summer movie season starts at the first weekend of May. Well, how about I start too?
Yeah, pretty much.
You're like, oh, are they still releasing blockbusters in November? Well, how about you sweat your balls off at Halloween? How's that sound? I need to apologize to a one Mr. Todd Brackey because he messaged me yesterday and was like, hey, I don't want to invite myself, but I'm ready to come on and talk about Covenant if you are. And I was like, yeah, I have not had a chance to see it, so thanks.
But, oh, maybe a special one year anniversary show that we do Covenant.
Or Wonder Woman.
Or Covenant and Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I don't. You know, it's hard for me to get out into the theaters unless it's something that I'm, like, just really super, you know, into. And not to say Covenant wouldn't have been one of those things, but it just happened that it just didn't work out. So, but Wonder Woman, I said to my wife, I was like, let's take the kids to go see Wonder Woman on Sunday. And she was down for it, so that's what we're going to do.
Nice.
Okay, so we have a few things to talk about. Tonight's movies, we're going to talk about Raw, the French horror movie, although I would like to get Mitch's ideas to whether it qualifies as a horror movie. We'll get into that. But first, we have our typical games to talk about, and I know Mitch is super excited. He's had a game that he's been waiting for a really long time. Finally came out, and it sounds like things have not gone the way anybody, dev or players, had expected.
It has not. Yeah, man. Like I pre-bought my copy, my digital copy. I'm buying both. But I pre-bought my digital copy through the Kickstarter for Friday the 13th, the day that the Kickstarter began. Like, since day one, I've bought the game, been waiting for it. I was not one of those people that was constantly hounding them about when it was going to be done. I'm like, you know what? Take as much time as you need.
That's Kickstarter. If you're because hounding I wanted, people about when Kickstarter games
right.
are done, then that's not the platform for
exactly.
you.
Right. And so I was like, you know, I'm as excited as anybody, but just please take your time. And when it's done, that's when you release it so I can enjoy it. And so I remember they announced, I guess it was probably about a month before the release date that they finally set in the date. Mm-hmm. You get to play on May 26th. I'm like, okay. So I took my Xbox to work Friday morning, had it ready to go, downloaded the game. I got into one match. I died very quickly into said match, and I was unable to enter another match for the remainder of the day.
Really? All day?
So... yep. Tried all day. I would sit there and let it sit in the matchmaking, searching for like 20, 30 minutes. Then I'd stop it and start it back over.
Jeez.
Yeah, and as of this recording tonight, it is still not working, the matchmaking. You can do private matches, although it's been my experience that they are more than likely going to crash.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes at the most inopportune moment, if you watch the third stream video,
I have to watch that. I haven't gotten rid of it yet.
If you don't watch anything else, watch the last 5 minutes or so, man, because I laughed until I cried four different times yesterday at my reaction to that game crashing when it did. And I lost my shit. So yeah, there's that. And but you know, they're like, oh well, you can do the looking for game groups and all that type of shit.
I don't want to do that.
Right. But that's the only way to play it as of right now. Apparently they finally finished the Steam patch this afternoon and it came out and they said PS4 and Xbox were coming soon. So it's still broken. It's still almost unplayable. And what really sucks is that when it works, it's fun.
Is it?
Like it is. It doesn't teach you shit. It's an unfinished game. There's no denying. Nobody could tell me they were done. Mm-hmm. It is an unfinished game. There's no tutorials. There's no, this is how you play. There's nothing. It's like quick match, private match, go. They don't tell you how to use Jason's abilities. They don't tell you about the how to reroll the perks for, and all that type of shit for the counselors. Like, it's just you go.
So, oh, I didn't know there were perks for counselors. I thought it was just you pick the counselor and, or whatever, and then you went.
No, they have like four little attributes, three or four little attribute things you can put on there, and you buy them. But the thing is, there's only one available at a time, and then you can pay to reroll to try to get something else. So, I mean, it's not, you know,
and you're paying
a shovelware, like it's
you're paying with in-game
the experience points.
Oh, okay.
Experience points you get from the game. CP, I think they call it, which they don't even tell you what the fuck that stands for. Which is like
Crystal
CP.
Lake points.
Right? Yeah. But I mean, and it's not like Evolve, whereas like Evolve to me was like watching paint dry, because if I play as the monster, this ruthless group of bounty hunters that was the AI would mercilessly stalk me, and I was just running for my life as a giant monster the
Which
whole time.
Which is supposed to be the opposite, right? I mean, in Evolve,
right.
It's supposed
exactly.
to be the other way around.
Yeah. But then I play as a hunter, and I have this Godzilla-sized creature that mercilessly stomps the shit out of me.
Right.
And so I was like, I never enjoyed it. So this, at least there's something to do, no matter what, like, which side you're on. Like, Jason, yeah, is the most fun. He's overpowered. He's kind of supposed to be. That's kind of the point. You know, and the counselors have a chance, but it's not much of one.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, that adds, like, this cool tension if you're the counselor and you have objectives. So you can call the police, and if you call the cops, you have to survive for 5 minutes till they show up, and then you can escape with them. You can fix a boat, which requires you to find a propeller and find a gas can. You can escape via boat, or you can repair a car, right? Or you can repair a car, which requires you to find a battery and install it, fill the gas tank, find the car keys.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason still can stop you in the car. Like, if he runs out in front of you in the road, he'll slam his hands down on the hood and stop the car.
It's like Left 4 Dead, when like the tank could still fuck you up in the van if you waited too long.
Yep. Yep.
See, because I read...
I mean, it's fun. It works.
Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
No, I had read some stuff that said that even when it did work, it wasn't as exciting because as Jason's powers grow, he basically can warp to different points on the map. He's pretty – I mean, and he should be unstoppable because he's Jason. But as a counselor, right. It was like, well, you know, it's kind of – there's really not a lot to do, you know, while you're waiting to die, so to speak. But then as Jason, you're basically just walking very slowly until you get all your powers, and then you just zip around the map murdering everybody.
Yeah, but true, but you still have to find the counselors. Like, maybe it's because we've been playing, like, the most people I've played with was six.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, and in higher numbers, I guess it sort of works both ways. It's easier for Jason to find somebody to kill, but at the same time, it gives the other 5-6 people better opportunities to be finding the batteries and the keys and at least somebody getting away.
Now, are there is there any benefit at all? Like, let's say, aside from just comedy, let's say you and I are playing together and you're like, okay, I'm going to take the car and I'm like, I'm going to call the cops and I find the battery and tell you where the battery is. Like, is there any benefit at all to one person being able to find a way out? Like, a benefit for all of the counselors?
Other than that person would get an achievement, and I think the achievement's called, like, you're a dick or something like that for driving away with other people still alive in the match.
Can you drive away with other counselors,
yes.
though? Oh, okay.
Yes,
so you're supposed
you
to try to work together.
Car. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, when I lost my shit, I didn't know where our friend Sean or my brother or this other guy were.
Mm-hmm.
We knew our one friend was Jason. But Gene and I, because the thing is, unless you find a walkie-talkie, even the counselors can't speak unless you're in the vicinity of each other. And so you get little white arrows that show you where the counselors are. And so I just happened to head towards one, and it was Gene. And he was like, I had already found some car keys. And he's like, well, I've already put the gas in the car. And I was like, oh, shit, let's just find the battery.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're both looking. I was like, I'm going to this cabin. You look in that cabin. And this was like maybe 2 minutes into the match. Like, this was always like, and I have yet to see the car move.
But it's Friday the 13th, so you stopped to have sex with each other, right?
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah, but then we found the battery, too. So I get the battery and I go to the front of the car, and what you do is you hold down the A button and it brings up a mini game and you hit the bumpers based on which bumper it tells you. Well, I hit all three of them right on the first time, and
no shit.
My chick doesn't close the hood of the car. And I was like, oh shit. What the? I was like, all right, so I did it again. And on the second button press, the game crashed.
Oh, no.
It made me sick. It made me what you'll hear if you watch the video.
I'm definitely going to watch it. To hear your torment.
And if anybody listening to this does that, yeah, just turn the volume down and I apologize in advance.
So have you had, have you played a game to completion that didn't glitch out in some way, shape, or form? Other than
yes,
that first
one? I haven't survived, but I've played a couple.
And have you played as Jason?
Yes.
And you didn't survive as Jason?
Oh, well, no. The one time I got to play as Jason, I haven't completed one as Jason that didn't crash.
Okay.
The only ones I've gotten all the way through, I was a counselor.
Because, okay. And so what do you get if you survive as a counselor?
I don't know. I haven't survived yet.
Sorry. So the only game you've managed to complete was a counselor,
yep,
and you didn't survive. Every other game has
right.
crashed on you?
Yep.
Well, that sucks. Not that you didn't
yep.
already know that.
Yeah.
But
one time I was the last counselor alive, and that one didn't crash. I made it all the way to – I got to – it said we had under 2 minutes left, and I had managed to hide from Jason that long because they're like – I think it's 30-minute limit. And so I managed to survive for 28 minutes before he finally caught me and killed me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not great. So some people, when they get in these situations, they're like, fuck it, I'm done. I don't give a shit about this game. It's busted. I shouldn't have given you my money. I did, but what's done is done. And then other people are
right.
like, well, as long as they fix it, I'm fine because I like
right.
what they're doing. So as long as they fix it, I'm okay. Where are you?
Oh, I'm looking forward to the patch. Like I'm looking forward to be able to play this consistently and have a good time because I have several friends who have it. And so I think the opportunity for a lot of fun is there. I'm just ready for that to happen. But mm-hmm. at the same time, and yeah, I've been kind of bitching a little bit because I got dicked out of that Savini skin too, which pisses me off.
How?
But, well, I bought it. I pre-ordered the game on day one. The Savini skin, of course, came months later, well, a couple of years later almost, actually.
Oh.
They announced that. And they're
so,
like,
yeah.
I was like, all right.
Okay.
So I bought it separate.
Uh-huh.
And they sent me a survey for the game, you know, which code are you going to want it for? And I said, Xbox. They never sent a survey for the skin, and they just send me a Steam code. And I was like, well, I can't use this. Can I swap it? Because I never got a survey for the skin. And I got no response to my email, but they released this blanket statement like a couple hours after I emailed saying they could not do swaps at this time for the codes and all this shit. So I was like, oh.
That's bullshit.
So I don't get that.
Yeah. See, it seems to
yeah.
me – here's what seems to happen, which I don't understand why this would happen. It seems to me like they were just completely unprepared for how to run a Kickstarter. And I mean, you had to know that if you say, hey, we're going to make a Friday the 13th game that's like Evolve, that there's going to
right.
be a ton of interest in that. So, it yep. you know, if the game coming out in the state that it is, I mean, there is plenty of AAA studios that release games in shitty states.
Right.
It's not great that it happens, and that's certainly not an excuse, but it's not like it's unheard of. But, you know, things like that, like not fulfilling the things that, you know, the people who paid money that made the game happen, not fulfilling that basic shit, like that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. Yeah, because I was like, you know, when I saw you were playing on Xbox, I was like, well, shit, I kind of need something new. And I always like have something, if everybody, like if Sean has it and Gene has it and, you know, your brother has it, and
yeah.
obviously if you have it, then I'd be down to forgetting it. But then when I started reading about all the problems, I just was like, well, I can't justify spending the
yeah.
money on it, you know, not knowing
right.
what's
going on. That's what I told everybody who's asked. You know, everybody, a lot of people have asked me, and I've just been like, you know what? I cannot buy it right now. Don't even
right.
think about it because it doesn't work. But, you know, it's when it works, it's fun, and they say they're going to fix it. So if that happens, then shit yeah, buy it. I'm down to play with you, hear me know, whatever.
Right.
It'll be fun when it works, if it works.
Right. But that's just, yeah, I mean, that's just frustrating because software development takes a long time, right? And there's plenty. I mean, look, right. Red Dead, you know, Redemption 2 been delayed. I don't think anybody was surprised by that. You know, I mean, you could, you could spend days listing all of the big name projects that over the years have been delayed by a significant amount of time. So,
sure.
You know, and being a Kickstarter doesn't, I don't think that is any different. I mean, the only difference, well, I shouldn't say that it's not different. It is because people have already paid their money. So I kind of understand that pressure to feel like, hey, people are going to feel like we just took their money and ran. But that's where just running a good Kickstarter campaign comes in. If you are, in constant communication with your backers, you're telling them what's going on. You're showing progress. You're explaining where the delays are coming from. They are more apt to cut you the slack that's necessary and just kind of be ready for when the game comes out. But
right. They did, to their credit. They did that.
Right. But if you're saying it sounds like kind of you're saying the game seems somewhat unfinished. So it feels like they also at one point felt like they had to release something. So as not to, you know, continue to upset backers. And you're either okay with it or you're not. But if you release an unfinished game, I mean, that's going to do a hell of a lot more damage to your reputation, especially as a young development company. Because is this their first game?
Yeah, it's like four people.
Right. So that's going to do more damage than being late, but yet communicating why you're late and all that.
Right. Right. The thing is, I think they got so sick of being asked when's it coming out that they finally just said early 2017. And I feel like they felt like they had to make that. And even calling May 26th, early 2017, is like the last possible.
Right, exactly.
If you're going to say early, I mean.
Yeah, no shit, right.
That's pushing it. But I'd have just been like, you know what? Late 2017, guys. We fucked up. Just it's something. Because this is not what they did is horrible.
It's like No Man's Sky, right? Like No Man's Sky kept getting delayed. Although I shouldn't say kept getting delayed because it never actually told us when it was coming out. And they didn't really tell you what it was. And then when it did come out, I hit the table there. When it did come out, you know, it had problems. Now, since it's come out, they've added a lot of stuff that a lot of people enjoy. I've never gone back to it. I don't have an interest in it. You know, there's a window that you have to get people's attention to play your game. And if either because, you know, things that you promised aren't there or it's broken or for whatever reason, if that window closes, good luck getting people back.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, when you talk about people in their unplayed Steam library, I'm sure you and I have a gang of shit that we ain't played. We bought it with every intention of playing it. And it just sits there on our Xbox One going, ready to download. It's like, hey, you stay ready, man. You be on your toes any day now.
Yeah, any day now. It's your day.
Like, put me in, coach. And then, you know, they have a better chance because of the time of year that it is. You know, the beginning of summer.
Right.
You know, it's not – there's been a lot of good stuff coming out. I don't know what I look at, for me personally, what's coming out in the next couple months. It's jack and shit. But, but you know, once fall hits, you're done, son. I mean, if you can't do what you need to do to get traction, to kind of become something that is in regular rotation, it's all over. And they're not going to – people aren't going to go back and be like, oh, hey, remember that Friday the 13th game? I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
So
the one-off chance would be if it's a Friday the 13th or something. That's like, I think there's one in October, maybe.
Yeah,
that might spike it again for like a day or two.
Right. If they offer a Steam sale or something, like they do something,
right.
Not just hey, it's Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I don't know. I know developing software is hard work, and if it's a small team, I totally get that. But again, I think it comes down to knowing what you're capable of doing and managing people's expectations of that. I mean, if you're a 4-person team, and you know that things are going to take a long time, then make sure that's clear. And folks will decide.
Right.
They might go, you know what? Fuck it, I don't care. Like a perfect example, right? So I backed a Kickstarter. This guy, he makes these dinosaur action figures. It's called Beasts of the Mesozoic, and he's making these fucking badass, super awesome articulated raptors. Different colors. He's kind of modeling like the coloring on the plumage of birds. There are different settings based on like where the fossils were found. So like this one that was found in Mongolia might have a slightly different set. These things are awesome. I knew it was going to take a long time. I think I backed it like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. I mean, at this point, could he run away with all my money? Probably. I mean, he could, but I've seen, like, photos of him going to China and working on all of the, like, he showed the molds, like, the tooling molds, and he's shown the ejection process and what a sample one looks like and working. I mean, most likely, he's not going to take my money. He's actually doing this. Do I know when it's going to come out? Fuck no. I have no idea. But I'm not worried, and I knew going into it that it was going to take time. And I think that and I'm sure he's got people emailing him going, where the fuck are my dinosaurs? Where are my dinosaurs? But that's all part of Kickstarter. I mean, if you don't have a publisher who you know, maybe can more manage those type of things, that's part of it. And if you're going to dip your foot in that pond, you got to be okay with that. And not rush something out just because you feel like, you know, you've got to do it to show that you're actually doing stuff. So, I mean, that's unfortunate. Because I know you were really looking forward to it. So hopefully they get things into a state where you can have fun with it.
And I think it's coming.
Okay. So anything else you've been playing, or has it just been trying desperately to stream Friday the 13th?
For the channel and just for my own personal enjoyment, it's mostly Friday the 13th, but I hit a milestone today.
Oh, yeah.
I am level 400, baby. I finally have a level 400 character in Destiny.
I'm very proud.
I'm so happy.
You know, I don't even know where mine is. If I... 380s, maybe 370s. I mean, I got a ways to go if I wanted to do that. And so you just did it, just doing Nightfalls and
never. Yep, have not done the raid still. I would like to do that before 2 comes out, but that's all I have left to do really now. I kept doing the heroic playlists or Siva heroic strikes and doing the Nightfalls when they were doable and rank it up with the Vanguard and my factions, and was able to finally start getting the picture. You know, nope, not since you and I did it for the show that time.
Because I found Iron Banner. We talked about this, I think, last time. I found Iron Banner actually the easiest, fastest way because they were pretty good with drops. You know, you didn't even have to win. Like, I got plenty of purples doing Iron Banner, and I felt kind of bad for my team because, you know, after the one that you and I played, the modes they had, I was not great at, but I did pretty well enough to get to go up a few levels. Yeah, I'm tempted, but God, I don't know if I want to get back into it because, I mean, what we talked about this, right? Like once you do that, that does tend to become like everything. And I'm just not sure.
Yep.
As much as I would love a level 400 character, I don't know if I'm ready to go back to that kind of commitment. Have you been playing any Overwatch since the anniversary event other than Friday night when I couldn't do it? And everybody had a great time and I was sad.
A little.
Reading Twitter and crying. My mom's like, what's wrong?
I'm like,
nothing. Especially because you did well with Symmetra.
Yeah, I did.
I was wearing my Symmetra shirt, by the way, when I read that tweet. I was like, well, obviously, if my girl's going to cheat on me, I'd prefer it be with one of my best friends, but still stink.
Yeah, man, they were giving me shit about the... Because I haven't used her since before she had 2 ults, so they gave me shit about... The second ult when I placed it, because I put it right out in the middle of everything in the point. And they're just like...
with a giant neon sign that said, come destroy my shield generator.
Well, I was like, this will shield us all. So I just put it right in the middle.
So
they had a good time.
How long does her ult take to charge? No reason. Just curious.
Yep.
Funny. Well, I've been playing. So let me back up. So I was playing Prey, and as you know, I don't know because you were watching the stream. I just was not feeling it. Like, I tried. I did the glitch to get, like, a ton of inventory so I could buy, like, a gang of neuro mods and, like, pimp my character out and be all fucking jacked up. I had every goddamn skill you could have that, you know, short of the ones I hadn't found yet.
Right.
But I just found it boring. Like, once you got past the initial, oh, it's a mimic. Oh, that's not a coffee cup. Oh, no. I was just like, I was not feeling it. And then the loading times that you had to do going, you know, back and forth through the station, I was like, nah. And then, so I'd stopped playing because, you know, my family had come, and I read something that somebody wrote, I think it was on Kotaku, where they basically were like, the last quarter of Prey is a mess, and here's why. And I'm not going to say what they said in terms of narrative stuff, because I don't want to spoil it for anybody who might be considering playing the game. But one of the things they mentioned is that you have to keep going back and forth through parts of the station, so you're constantly hitting the loading points. And I was that was just part of it. All of the other stuff, I was like, fuck that. So I was like, I'm not playing it. I'm good. I had already made the decision to kind of stream some Overwatch so I could get some anniversary skins. And even that hasn't been going great. Like, playing Overwatch by yourself, I keep texting Mitch, like, you gonna play? You won't play? Come on, man, let's play. and it's just not as much fun by yourself. But the thing that is even more annoying to me, I wish they would make it so that if it was an anniversary event, a special event, the only things you could get were special event things. And maybe that is happening, and it's just that they have a shit ton of shitty-ass voice lines and player icons. But
Getting dupes, man.
I was so excited last night. So I played one night, and I played the 3-on-3. And I actually quite liked that mode. And I did okay. I think I got one loot box. Opened it up, got Symmetra's dance emote. And I was like, that's cool. That's my girl. And now I can, Friday night, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to get up on a mountain. I'm going to have Rocco put a bubble on me, and we're going to fucking dance fever this bitch. Like, it's going to be great. So I was like, okay, not a total loss. And I played some more, and I didn't get shit because I was stuck with, like, I was playing Capture the Flag, and it was a draw, and then it was a draw, and then I was playing the 3-on-3, and I didn't win anything, and I didn't level up. So I played last night. First match, I was fucking baller, dude. We were playing Capture the Flag. I was like, I picked D.Va. I went this route nobody else took. I killed fucking everybody. I captured the flag out of my mech and ran it all the way back. Got support from an Ana who kept shooting me with healing darts the entire time I'm running back. So we turtle up. I fucking had some clutch plays. We ended up winning 1-0. I get nothing. No extra experience. No play of the game. I'm the only motherfucker who picked up the flag. What the fuck?
Right.
So, did another match. Capture the flag. So, I got a loot box for winning that one. Then I did another capture the flag. We got our fucking asses kicked in. Did another one. Won that one. And then did a 3-on-3. And this fucking 3-on-3, man, we fucking destroyed these fools. Like, it was like nothing. Because at 3-on-3, it's all about your hero, picking your hero, and maybe saving some of the better ones towards the end.
Yep.
That last match, I don't know who our third person was, but I was Roadhog, this other cat was Winston, and I was like, I don't know who the fuck you're bringing to this party, but you ain't going to chew through, like, fucking 1,100 points of health. One dude's got a shield, and one dude can heal himself. That shit ain't happening. And so we double-teamed Orisa, and we fucking kicked her shit in. So I ended up getting 3 loot boxes, and I got jack shit in all of them. And the one time I see a gold coin fly up in the air, and I was so excited. and it was a dupe of that Scarecrow Junkrat skin I already have, which is a fucking awesome skin, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But I was like, I already have it. And yeah, man, that skin costs 1,000 coins, and they give you 200 for the dupe.
Right. Yep.
It's like, fuck me. And so even that's starting to get frustrating because I'm like, I don't mind playing. Like, if you and Gene and I are playing and we're just shooting the shit on a Wednesday night, whatever, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
But right. If I'm going to start spending, you know, time by myself, I'd like to get something for it.
Yep.
But I did see today that the next patch – well, first of all, did you hear how they're going to update Reaper?
No.
Yeah, so it's on the PTR right now. So you know how, like, when he kills guys now, he gets orbs and it gives them back health?
Yeah.
Well, now you don't have to kill them. It's just 20% damage that you do comes back. So
– wow.
Yeah. So
because he was too weak?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess next time we play No Limit, once that fucking patch hits, next time No Limit,
jeez,
fucking Reaper all day.
No,
I mean,
shit.
As long as you're doing damage, you're getting health back. But anyway,
wow.
they announced that the two, the Genji and the Officer Diva, the Oni Genji and the Officer Diva skins from Heroes of the Storm, you're going to be able to get them through regular non
loot box
special event
right.
loot boxes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So. But anyway,
I had read that was happening, but
yeah, I mean, there's still whatever ultimate legendary, whatever the fuck the best one is. So you got a chance, but it's better than now, where I mean, your odds of you getting a loot box are so, getting something good in a loot box are so low to begin with, and then you know the anniversary event being timed. But anyway, so I'm still playing Nier Automata. I think I just started playing that. Or I had been playing it for just a little while last time that we talked. And, yeah, this game is great. I am really, really enjoying it. And you know me. I don't play through games multiple times. But there's 26 different endings in the game. And I'm not going to try to go for all 26. And some of them are stupid. Some of them is like, I come across them accidentally. Like, I went the wrong way. They're like, oh my God, the village is under attack. And I was like, I'm going to go save them. And I went down the wrong path. And they're like, you lose. And I was like, what? And they're like, that's ending K. And I was like, okay. And your save games will show, like, how many endings you've had. Like right now, mine says, like, AHKT or something like that. So the way it works is, like, if you want to see all of, like, the story-related endings, so you do one run-through, then you start the game again, you load your save, you start up a game, that'll give you ending B. Then, I guess at the end of B, you have to make a choice. So you do one choice, that gives you C, reload, do the other choice, that gives you D, and then either of those endings will give you E, and then that is pretty much, like, all of the story things. And I don't really replay games, so when I first started playing this, I was like, well, I don't really care. It's just the same shit all over again, just with a different dude. But as the game goes on, it starts giving you more perspective on the things that happen, and it does extra little story things. So it's different, and he's got a different moveset, so it's different enough to where it's holding my interest to want to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that's made the biggest difference, and this is because I'm a fucking dumbass. So the way the game works is you're an android. And so instead of having powers, you've got chips. And you can plug in chips and take out chips and give yourself different powers. And it could be things like you regenerate health when you hit somebody, or you're faster, or whatever. And you can have different chip sets. So if you know, hey, I'm going into a boss, I need to do a lot of offensive stuff, I'm going to throw in this chip set, or I'm just running around the world and I need to heal up, I'm going to swap this chip set, whatever. So I played through the whole first run through the game, which is like 18 hours. And I was like, man, this is showing my chip storage is only like 40 blocks. I wonder how you get more blocks. But I thought, well, I know you do multiple run throughs, so I bet the next dude's got more blocks. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to look it up on the internet, because why would I think about doing that? So I played through the whole game, swearing my fucking ass off at some of these cheap-ass boss fights, getting my shit pushed in. And last night, I was playing, and I'm like, how do you... And so my second run-through, But there's one point in this village, and the woman's like, you need to talk to all these vendors. And I was like, okay, cool. That was like a quest. So I talked to the one vendor, talked to the second vendor, and I'm like, yay, quest is done. And then I see this third vendor, and I'm like, oh, who's this? And this person sells chips. And I was like, sweet. And then you can combine chips together and make new chips. And I was like, well, that's all well and good, but I don't have enough storage. All right, folks, sorry about that. We had a small technical error. Pamela crashed. Unfortunately, I don't know where, so I don't know how much of my blathering about Nier Automata got missed. But if you decide to play the game, don't make the same mistake that I did. When you first get to – and you should play this game because the game's fucking awesome. When you first get to the – there's like a rebel base. And the first quest you do is they want you to talk to two vendors. One of them will say, hey, can you please go out and get a bunch of chips for me or shit for me? And then I can sell you stuff. And the other guy's like, hey, can you get a bunch of stuff for me? And then I can sell you weapons. You'll do those things and you'll think those are the only vendors. Wrong. There is a third and that is the one that sells you chips and storage. Okay, so we actually have a movie to talk about, but I need to I just want to check real quick, make sure hopefully the last recording we did is actually there. Looks like it. Question is just how long is it? But we're not going to worry about that right now. Okay, so as I mentioned before, I did not get a chance to Alien Covenant, but Mitch and I both finally got to see Raw, the French cannibalism horror movie. I know I've been waiting for it. You were waiting for it as well.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so first things first. Do you consider Raw a horror movie?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned earlier you were going to ask that, because I hadn't thought about it not being one until you said that.
And well, only because of late we've been seeing movies where we're both like, well, I don't know if I'd call it a horror movie. I'd call it more of a thriller.
Right. And this one, I never considered that, and I wonder if it's because of just how like extreme it is. Because if it weren't as graphic, I think, yeah, I probably would consider it more of a thriller, actually. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really thought of that, but as it stands, I'm perfectly comfortable calling this a horror movie.
Yeah, see, and here's the thing. I guess it is graphic, right? But it's not graphic like – they're very the graphic nature of it is more – it's not like constantly in your face. The unsettling nature of the film is kind of always there, particularly when you're trying to figure out just what the fuck is going on. But in terms of like, for lack of a better word, like shock value type of graphic stuff.
Right.
That's definitely – they more pick their times and their places for that.
Sure. Well, and it's not – you know, it's not just in reference to – the cannibalism, like even the just certain scenes were just like I just cringed, you know, like I don't know, some of it was hard to watch for me.
Like what, for example? Okay, so let me set the stage as to what this movie is about. So like I said before, it's a French horror movie, and so I'm gonna get the names wrong. Let me see if I can bring it up here. I'm not going to try to name the actresses, but it basically focuses on these two sisters. Justine is the younger and Alexia is the older, and Justine is starting off in veterinary school, which apparently in France they haze the fuck out of you if
no
you go to
shit.
Veterinary school. Jesus Christ, I was
God.
In a fraternity which I mean we didn't do hazing, but I know of other guys in other houses that got hazed, and holy shit, that was like a fucking country club compared to what apparently French vet school is like. So she goes to the, she's a first year veterinary student at the same school that her sister is a student. And the first day that she's there, they have this event, and she's a vegetarian. Her whole family's vegetarian. She's supposed to eat a piece of raw rabbit kidney to show that she's not a loser, for lack of a better word. And that brings about some changes in her, where she starts craving meat and starts kind of awakening sexually. And so you're trying to figure out, you know, it's kind of the whole, you know, cannibalism as a sign of sexual awakening type of thing. We've seen, you know, kind of similar things, you know, where insert supernatural power goes along with sex here. But it's all, it's just kind of her, you as a viewer trying to figure out, okay, well, what exactly is it that's causing this? And her sister is also kind of fucked up. Is her sister fucked up the same way that she is? Or is it the whole school that's like this? Is it just her?
Right.
And then things kind of go from there. And that's one of the – I wonder if the whole hazing aspect of it was less of something that actually happens in schools in France and more of just trying to be like, okay, well, we need to keep the viewer on their toes to know whether this whole school is kind of fucked up.
Right. I honestly hope that's the case because there would be no vets in France.
And that's one of the things when I was talking to Linda about it, cause she's always like, why do you watch these things? And I'm like, because they're awesome. but I said that's the only part that was kind of a weak link for me, was that if that was the purpose, is to have all of this hazing to make you wonder if it was just – if everybody at the school was having problems. I'm like, it was a really odd thing to do given the type of school that it was, because like I mean at one point they're walking around school chanting about how they've got their dicks in the air, and I'm like, you're vets you're not like – it's not like I could maybe – I mean, I don't know if it was like med school and they were like supposed to be like super fucking hotshot open heart surgeon, like, you know, fucking Stephen Strange shit, where they're going to be making in loads of money and just, they've got, you know, women all over them or men all over them because they got so much fucking money in the bank, and you're just like, yeah, goddamn right, neurosurgeon. But I'm like, I've seen, like, at one point, the sister, older sister, she's got her fucking hand up a cow's ass, and you're trying to tell me you're walking around with your dick in the hair? No. But I was like, okay, whatever. Note to self, do not go to vet school in France. But that being said, I think that even, you know, kind of putting that aside, that is one of the things that the movie did really well. I thought the performances were great, but also just keeping you constantly on your toes until the very end of – not the very end. I'd say the last 20 minutes in terms of figuring out more of what's going on. But just kind of keeping you on your toes is to knowing who exactly all of this stuff was affecting. Was it just her? Was it other people? And then just that, you know, that feeling of dread and that unsettled feeling that you have throughout the whole movie, simply because you don't really know what's going on. And as you start to figure out what's going on, it's not great.
Right. Yeah, I felt like one of my favorite parts of it was the characterization of Justine, and how it could have been very easy to have just not given a shit about this character, like have her just be, oh, this is just a little frail, weak, whatever, you know, and, you know, vegetarian, and oh, they left a meatball in the mashed potatoes at the start. She's like, oh, it's fine. No, but man, she was so good. And like, you know, I'm not a girl, but I've been in that position before. Not so much like the vegetarian stuff, but like going, like as soon as she goes to school, they throw her into a party and she's so uncomfortable.
Right.
And she's just looking for anybody she recognizes. Like I relate to that, dude. I have been there before, and it's so uneasy, and it's the worst feeling.
Yeah.
And then when she finds her sister, and she's so excited to find her sister, and then her sister's batshit crazy, all like, you know, and right. I imagine when she left for school, that wasn't the way her sister was.
Right, right.
And so, like, I could just, I felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once all the shit just kept piling on top of her, and I was just like, Jesus Christ. And then she started to change, and I was like, man, this chick's good. Like, but yeah, I was uneasy for the whole movie.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, part of it's like, well, some of it's, I'm like, all right, she's just letting this happen. And then some of it, I'm like, well, no, she wants this to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's like, where's that line at?
Mm-hmm.
And the hardest thing for me to watch was the Brazilian dude.
Her roommate?
Oh.
Yeah.
No. When her sister gave her the Brazilian hat. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Just
yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Like, ladies, ugh. You know what? It's all good down there. Just don't. Like, mm-mm. I, as a man, I would not use any sort of tape or anything to tear hair off of me. Like, I ain't going to do a Steve Carell and 40-year-old virgin. I'm certainly not going to ask you to do that. And that looked awful. So, yes, please.
Ugh.
Do what you got to do to feel comfortable in your own skin, but I mean, good Lord.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I was like, what the fuck kind of scissors did she have? Because she would have had to fall in this crazy ass way. So the sister, you know, it's kind of somewhat spoilery here. The older sister is giving her a Brazilian and can't quite get all of the hair and the wax off. And she knocks her sister out of the way. Her sister comes with a pair of scissors. She's going to cut the wax off. Of course, somebody coming towards your genitals with a large pair of scissors would probably freak anybody out. And she hit her scissors, her sister, and her sister fell. And then with the scissors and comes back up, and she's like, it had chopped clean through her finger. And I was like, wait, what? Like that? You would have to fall in a really, you know, again, there are certain things I think in the movie where they kind of put them in. I don't know. It just felt more like they didn't have as good of an idea as to how to get particular characters in these situations. And so the stuff that they went with, I don't know how effective it was, but that's definitely something that you think about after the fact while you're actually in it. I didn't notice it at all.
Right.
I felt that all the performances were good. Like you know, the main character there, you trying to feel out like what, you know, kind of everything that she's going through. Because going to a school for the first time, it is scary. And then, you know, you're trying to find, you're trying to fit in. You're trying to kind of go outside your comfort zone, you know, maybe because you feel like you have to. And then, like you said, you've got an older sibling there, and they're usually somebody you can trust. And then turns out they've changed a bunch too. And now you're not sure what it is you're supposed to do in order to fit in. I thought they did a really good job with that.
Right. And then, you know, she starts having her meat cravings, and she doesn't understand where that's coming from. And, you know, again, a little spoilery, but they, you know, present the fact that she was a virgin, and she starts to have feelings for this guy who's a roommate, but he's gay. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, can you imagine
what
was going on inside of her head? And, you know, just the confusion.
Right, right.
And then what it led to, Jesus.
Yeah.
Just like, how could anybody deal with that?
Yeah.
And she was so good, though. I thought she was so good in the movie. Like, I'm not going to butcher her name, but she was fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a, you know, to have to find a strike that right balance where, like you said, when you're like, well, is she letting this happen? You know, because you want to feel sympathetic towards her because of the things that she's going through and having a difficult time and everything. But at the same time, I think too easily, particularly in horror movies, you know, if you feel like the characters are just kind of either there or they're more like letting things happen to them as opposed to being more active, then you're just, you kind of lose sympathy for them.
Right.
And that wasn't this way at all. Like, you definitely felt for her because you were like, well, Jesus, what is going on? And not just because you wanted, yep, as a viewer, you wanted to solve the mystery, so to speak. But that being said, when they finally did, this is one of the best last shot movies I think I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Simply because of not only kind of finding out what is happening, but the look on her face when she realizes what the deal is and all of the emotions that you see kind of, you know, pass across her face when she recognizes what
she's
going on. Holy shit. And it was just, it was heartbreaking to watch because her name is...
Yes.
All right, I'm going to try this. Garance Marié, G-A-R-A-N-E.
Yes, I was saying
Marié. Yeah. So to kind of see that, the realization of what exactly is going on, kind of go across her face, and all that it brings with it, was hard. Like I said, it was heartbreaking, but it was great.
Yep.
Now, one of the things I had mentioned to Linda was that for me, because the last shot was so effective, I don't know if I would watch it again just simply to get to that point. Would you?
I mean, I'll buy it, but it'll be a while before I'll watch this again. Because like you said, I think the ending is pretty much perfect. And, you know, I don't know. The only reason I would watch it again is because I like to go back and see if I missed stuff. And there's certain things I noticed and they made sense later on.
They definitely go ahead.
I get the feeling I missed things, and I always like to go back and look.
Well, this movie definitely does a fantastic job of, even from the very first scene, when even before they even get to school, things make a hell of a lot more sense. But they did such a good job, because it wasn't like really crazy type stuff, they did a great job of framing it as being something that might just be normal, because it didn't seem out of the question at all when you're watching it. But then in the context of what you find out at the end, it totally makes sense. And I agree with you. It would be cool to see if there – because that was the thing that – and I think you know what I'm talking about. That was the thing that initially came to mind for me was, oh, okay, now I get it. And to see – that's a good point, though, to see if there's other stuff like that that makes more sense knowing. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. But, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was well worth the wait. Definitely, you know, I'd heard so many things about it, and I was glad to finally get a chance to watch it, and glad that it kind of lived up to what I expected. And
same here.
And I watched it, you know, in French with the subtitles, and it doesn't really take away from anything at all. You know, certain movies sometimes it does, but this one was not one of them. So, but yeah. So if you get a chance, if you see it and you like French cannibal horror movies or just horror movies in general, doesn't have to be that specific.
Right.
That might be a bit of a high bar to clear.
so sort of, yeah, right. So to put it in a certain context, if you're a fan, it brought to mind for me was Excision. So if you liked Excision,
oh, I haven't seen
this
that
is
one.
In that vein. Oh, it's really good.
Oh, and this is not a Green Inferno cannibalism movie.
No,
so don't. When you hear cannibalism or Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or you know, cannibalism movie, it's not like that. So don't you know, if those movies, you know, kind of turn you off because that's what you think of when you think of cannibalism. Don't sleep on this because of that.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Right, Excision. I'll have to look that one up. Okay.
Yep.
Well, the only other thing I watched of note, and saying of note is being extremely generous, was Matt Damon Saves China, otherwise known as
God.
The Great Wall. I was like talking to my wife today on Instant Messenger, and she's like, I was like, I don't know what accent Matt Damon is doing in this Matt Damon Saves China movie. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, the Great Wall. She's like, what the fuck is that? I was like, the Great Wall? Matt Damon saves China? He's like, on the wall, there's like monsters? Like, she's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I was like, girl, I know we fast forward through commercials, but you can't tell me you didn't see.
That shit was everywhere.
Right, exactly. That's what I thought, too. And she's like, what's it about? I'm like, Matt Damon saves China. Like, I am not exaggerating. That is what this movie is about. And I was like, I don't even know what accent he was trying to do. I know he can do a Boston accent.
Yep.
And I know he can do a lack of a Boston accent.
Right.
I can't tell you. He can't do anything beyond that because it kind of like came and went. And then I was like, what the fuck? And he made this big point about how he like fought for, you know, this army and that army. And then he fought for this side and then he fought for the other side. And, you know, kind of tried to make it sound like he'd kind of been all over the place. And I was like, okay, if that's the case, then you can just do your standard flat Matt Damon accent because you could just pass it off that, hey, I've been around the block a few times. I don't have any particular accent, but whatever the fuck it is you're doing,
they're like,
it ain't working.
He starts doing that, and they're like, Matt's going off script again.
Oh, I know. That's what it was. Like, anytime I see a movie and, like, they have an accent and then they don't have an accent, you're always like, okay, I know the order in which they shot this.
Yep.
This was after the director was like, whatever you're doing, knock it off.
the most glaring example of all time for me will forever be Punisher Warzone. Because Jigsaw was Australian sometimes. Oh. Sometimes he was Italian.
Yeah, because Dominic, not Dominic Purcell, what's his name? The guy who plays Jigsaw, he's actually like Welsh or something.
Right.
And when he was on The Wire, he played Jimmy McNulty. He kind of had that where he would do this. And I mean, they're in Baltimore. Which does have a bit of an accent, but he would kind of do somewhat of this Brooklynite thing. And, yeah, he did the same thing when he did Jigsaw. Yeah, you know what? I think he's from – he might be, like, New Zealand or Australian. I don't remember. But he's definitely has a – he normally has an accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. That's funny. For me, it's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
You
know, Kevin Costner's British accent.
Yeah.
You know, popping in and out. You know, but when it first started, I was like, oh, it's kind of stupid. But then when they, you know, the first time the monster's attacking the wall and they got all the, you know, the Chinese people in the different colored outfits. And I was like, well, that's some video game shit right there. Like, that's right. How you know, oh, that's a sniper. He's red. Oh, melee is blue. I'm like, is this like fucking Dynasty Warriors? What the fuck? And they're jumping off the wall. And I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. And then shit got stupid. And I was like, okay, nothing to do now but sit here for another hour and 45 minutes.
It's brutal.
Because that's what I do. I don't go, this is dumb, I'm not going to watch it. I go, well,
I started it.
God damn it, I'm going to finish it. Come on, Matt Damon. Let's save China. And Willem Dafoe was in there. Good for him. Fucking cash and checks, getting paid.
Yep, sir.
He was like, he must have had a mortgage payment due or some shit. I don't know. But anyway, my choices were between Assassin's Creed and Great Wall, and I think sadly I picked the worst of the two.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we'll go back and we'll see if Fast Assassin's Creed is any better. But that's it for us. I do have Injustice 2 coming in the mail via Gamefly. Ooh. So be interested in popping that in and seeing all the little story bits. I don't give a shit about the fighting part. I just want to see what the story looks like.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
So I'm trying to talk a little bit about that next time. But, next time, definitely Wonder Woman. Looking forward to that one. So,
Yep.
And hopefully, if I don't get a chance to see Alien, then, you know, you and Todd can talk about it, and I'll just fucking whatever.
That'll work.
Do something. So, but thank you, everybody, for hanging out. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, you can always check out Things You Missed on the YouTube channel, so you can watch Mitch streaming about Friday the 13th.
Third stream. You have to watch the last 5 minutes of the third stream.
All right. And, of course, we always appreciate everybody hanging out, and we look forward to spending some more time with you in the next couple weeks. So for Mitch and myself, thank you again. Good night, and have a good evening.